Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head. I've entitled this message tonight, Touched in the Head. It's an autobiographical story. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. The seriousness of your word, but yet we can rejoice and even have a laugh about it from time to time. But God, I pray now that you would speak to our hearts. Some serious things we're going to be talking about tonight. And help us, dear God, to apply your word to our mind, to our heart, to our life, to every aspect of our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. By touched in the head, I mean the things that enter the head. Now, we know in the modern day what it means to be touched in the head. The things that touch us in the head wind up in the heart. Remember this, nothing gets to the heart that has not entered the head or the mind. The heart is the center of emotions, but the mind is the center of our intelligence. And nothing gets to the heart except it come through the mind. So we need to have a guard. The mind is reasoning. We must control the heart, which is the emotions. Just by definition, the heart is regarded as the center of a person's thoughts and emotions, especially love and compassion. And I added something this afternoon from the message this morning. I hope you took notes. The heart is regarded as the center of a person's thoughts and emotions, especially love and compassion. Those are good things. But also of hatred, anger, pride, scorning, gossiping, perverseness, frowardness. That's a funny word in the Bible. I always have to stop and think. Forward, froward. Froward means perverse. And envy. And all this comes in up here. It doesn't get down here until it comes in up here. Now the mind, the element or complex of elements in an individual that feels, perceives, thinks, and essentially reasons. Now within our reasoning, we always think we're right, don't we? Most of the time. And sometimes somebody comes to us with reasoning a little bit better than ours, and we've got to eat some humble pie. And you need to be aware, and you need to be able to do that. The mind also, it's the conscious mental events and capabilities in an individual. We've all got that. The organized, conscious, and unconscious adaptive mental activity of an individual. Remember, that which consumes the mind controls the heart. Amen. So let's talk about, first of all, some matters of the heart. Number one, we need to protect our heart. Proverbs 14:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Remember, what goes in is what comes out. Keep thy heart. Guard thy heart. Protect thy heart. Be conscious and aware of thy heart and what's going to happen in your life. If you keep feeding the wrong things, you're going to have the wrong actions. Now, I never forget Dr. Leon Maurer was president of Baptist Bible College when I went, And in personal evangelism is a class I had him in. I don't remember how the subject came up. And I've heard other preachers quote him on this. He said, you can't help a bird flying overhead, but you don't need to let it make a nest in your hair. And thoughts are going to come and go. Let's face it, we all have wicked, evil thoughts because we're wicked, evil persons. We're saved by the grace of God, but inside is still that same old Adamic nature. And thoughts and intents of the heart can be very devastating. So protect your heart. Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We need to spend some time in prayer, and if we got too much coming in up here, that we know what ought to be there and what ought not be there. If you're a member of this church and you sat under preaching like we had this morning, you know what's good and you know what's evil. It's when we know what's evil and we think, well, I can handle it. Yeah, I'm on top of this. It's not going to get me down. And before long, you're one of those coming in the pastor in the counseling room and saying, Pastor, I need help. Had you begun that earlier, you may never have gotten there. What are most of your thoughts on? Think about that. What are most of your thoughts on? Do you think about what you're thinking about? How often do you think on godly things? Each day? Each hour? I'd say each moment. There ought not be a time in our life that our mind and heart is not on God and on His Word and the things that would be pleasing to Him. Now, I've been young and now I'm getting old. And I would to God that I had the wisdom 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 20 years ago, even 10 years ago, that God's given me. But this Christian life, you don't get saved as the epitome of Christianity. You get saved and you come in. That's why we ought to be very, very friendly and I can't think of the word, whatever, to new people coming in. New Christians, baby Christians. You know, some of us already had 50 years to get ahead of them. Give them a chance to catch up. Be a help to them. You see something in someone that you think, oh my goodness, look at that. Don't say anything. Don't gossip. Go home and pray about it. That person that you see come in here, those teenagers and bus riders that you see come in here and sit towards the front row and are bickering and fussing like some were this morning and causing somewhat of a stir. And they ought to be corrected, but we ought to go home and pray about them. Find out their name. Find out a little bit about them so that you can go home and pray for them that they will overcome that and grow up and mature. I remember when I was a teenager, you'd have probably kicked me out of your church. And I'm very honest about that. I don't say that humbly. I say it realistically. But thank God for His salvation. Amen. So, number one, protect your heart. Next thing, fill your heart with right. Why do we do so much wrong? Because we shun the right. Psalm 19:8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The statutes of the Lord are right. I thought about this afternoon, and the thought came to my mind. When we're 16 years old, guys, any of you about 16 yet, ready to start driving? How many of you get in a car and just go out and drive? Now, I grew up on a farm, so I did. I drove a tractor, and not out on the highway, but around our farm. By the time I was 16, I drove a tractor, I drove a truck, I drove a car, but I didn't know all the laws. That's why I had to go and take a driving test. They have that little manual. You got to know that six-sided sign, red, says stop. Whether you can read stop or not, it means stop. Amen? And that's what God's Word is. We don't always understand it, but we know what it is. It's the guideline. It's what we need to study and prepare to be a mature Christian and to grow in the Lord. Fill your heart with good things. Psalm 119:11, Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. I've had this verse memorized, I think, ever since Bible college days. I've got a message. I preach on that portion of Scripture. I've preached it probably 50, 75 times. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. Not what we think. As the preacher said this morning, you don't get your group together. Well, what do you think about that? What do you think? What do you think? No, it's thus saith the Lord. And when you go to God's Word, you may not understand it, but don't reinterpret it. Study some more. I love these modern, on computer, Bible programs. My goodness, I printed out all these verses in here in about 10 or 12 minutes. Years ago, you had to sit down and write them out, and you didn't use so many of them back then. You had more of an outline. But I love this because now my messages are filled with Scripture that I sit here and read. I don't have to thumb through my Bible. That's why I'm the preacher up here. Now, he's got a lot memorized. I know that. But I'm sure a lot of those verses are on the page up here. It's called, which program do you use, Pastor? I didn't hear that, but, oh, I can't think of mine now. Online Bible. If you're simple like me, Online Bible. And it has King James, of course. You want to get it. But my goodness, you think about a subject. You can print out 25, 35, 40 verses on it. I had about 80 verses that I had to pare down to get in to this sermon. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. If you never go to it, you're not going to hide it in the word, a heart. You're not going to remember everything the preacher says up here. You need to go home and think about it and develop it in your own life. Psalm 34:7. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. God's good, and he gives us so much more than we deserve. Amen. And God's not a big ogre up there that's just waiting to put his thumb on us and put us down. He's not happy when we're not what we ought to be for him. He is thrilled to death when someone grows and matures and takes that next step of maturity in their Christian life. And he'll give you the desires of your heart. That's why you mentioned Connie. By all stretches of the imagination, Connie should have never married me. But as I look back now and see how God directed in my teenage years and brought us together, I'm convinced our marriage, even though it wasn't perfect, it was a marriage made in heaven. I'm convinced God put me in a position to meet Connie, and circumstances happened that just drew our love and attention to each other and developed into the marriage that we had. the desires of your heart. I'm very thankful for it, and I thank God that He does that. Next thing, keep a clean heart. Keep a clean heart. Psalm 51:10. This is David after his sin with Bathsheba, his prayer of repentance. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart. Pray about things in your life. Make prayer not a end of the day situation or not a morning devotional thing. Prayer with God. Paul said, pray always, and again I say, and I said rejoice, didn't he? He said, pray without ceasing. That's why you need notes. Pray without ceasing. Contemporary. Pray without ceasing. That's to be constantly in an attitude of prayer. And the older I get, do you know that I spend hours every day now in my home by myself, very content with the Lord? And I spend more time talking to Him than I do anybody else in the world. And I'm thankful for that. His leadership in my life, His blessings in my life, the peace and comfort that I have, that nothing's going to happen to me except He knows about it. And I think one of the things for that is because I'm trying to keep a clean heart. We will never, now mark this down, if you want to make a note about something, we will never be sinless. And that's a mistake some people make. But, let's never be sin-laden. Where sin builds upon sin and evil and wicked things, because it'll grow and it'll envelop your mind, it'll envelop your heart and destroy you. When you pray about it, Psalm 68:16 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So we have hindered prayers. Do you realize sometimes we can get together and be one of a crowd or be one alone, and God's not even listening to us? Whenever you've got that sin that doth so easily beset you, and you've given in to it, oh, you may do some peripheral things out here for God, and to the rest of us, make us think, oh, you're just hunky-dory with the Lord. You know how I know? Been there and done that. If I regard iniquity in my heart, Psalm 139:23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Let the Holy Spirit have free reign of your heart. When He's got control of what comes in up here, He's got control of how the emotions begin to operate down here. Salvation is a matter of the heart. And I don't think I have to preach a lot about this, because I'm assuming that most all of us here tonight, if not everyone in here tonight, knows Romans 10:9-10, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, acknowledge Him as the Messiah, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. I don't think any of us doubt the resurrection. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There's only one way to righteousness. And let me read back this one, Psalm 68, verse 18, but I want to read 19 and 20 also. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But, verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be the God which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Amen. So keep yourself pure. Now let's talk about matters of the mind, the matters of the heart. But the matter of the mind is what controls the heart. Number one, love God with the mind. We have these verses, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew 22:37. Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And thou shalt love the, in Mark 12:30. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Luke 10:27. And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Love God. Now, let me explain what love is. Connie and I got married 17 years old. We loved each other. That was an emotion. It come through the head, but it was an emotion. As you all know, a month and a half, 2 months ago, I was engaged. Now I'm back on the block again if anybody's interested. No, I'm not. It only lasted about 10 days. Because I wanted her up here, she wanted me down there, and it wasn't going to change either way. Okay. But, she's still my soulmate. I talk to her every day, and we text back and forth. And when we were engaged, I told her that I would love her. But I explained this. My love is not the emotion that you and I had when we got married the first time. We're 69 and 71 years old. That's beyond us. I will love you, and I love her to this day, and I tell her. But I love her because I choose to love her. Up here. May never have that old 16-year-old emotion down here again. Not going to happen. But I told her, if we get married, and even though we're not getting married, I still love her. It's a decision that I made to love. You've got to make a decision to love God. Loving God is not going to be this squishy, squashy all like it is when we have our first fling and everything like that. First girlfriend, first boyfriend, or even the first one you marry. That wears off. Let me tell you, if you're expecting that through 40 years of marriage, 50 years of marriage, you better get over it. Because there's going to be things come up where those feelings have fled. But if it's in here and you've let it take control down here, you're going to do it. And that's the kind of love we need for God. Love the Lord with all thine heart, with all thy head. Next thing. Right mind is noticeable. Luke 8:35, story of the maniac of Gadara. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And in his right mind. We got a right mind the day we got saved. Now it's a matter of surrendering that mind to the Lord Jesus. But notice the end of that verse. And they were afraid. The people that saw this guy, here he was. He broke chains and the fetters and was just a total mess in his life. And now here he's in his right mind sitting at the feet of Jesus And the unsaved crowd around there said, "Man, this is scary." To you and I that know the salvation of the Lord, we're not scared. We rejoice at seeing that. Now, it doesn't happen very often, but there had been, it happened. Ron Allen was a teetotal mess. And boy, his life did 180 degrees. My life, I was headed totally in the wrong direction. But when I got saved, I was clothed in my right mind, and my life did 180 degrees. Amen? And I'm thankful for that. So a right mind is noticeable. Next thing, receive God's word with a ready mind. Ready mind. In Acts 17:11, this is Paul and Barnabas. They had just left the town, went to Berea, or came from Berea to Thessalonica. These were more noble than... No, they came to Berea, left Thessalonica. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They had a prepared mind. People today are so blessed mindless. I watched Fox News last night. I haven't been watching it, but with the election coming on, I'm getting a little bit of curiosity. I'd much rather watch them than some of the other stations. But there's this guy named Waters, and it's called Waters World. And he was out on the streets with pictures of presidents. Held up Jimmy Carter. Half a dozen people he had. Did not know who Jimmy Carter was, a president. Some of them didn't recognize Ronald Reagan. Some of them didn't know who we fought in World War II. I mean, they are mindless. They're university-trained robots that have no idea of what's going on in the world. They need to be saved. Thank God for those that come with an open mind and a prepared mind to receive God's word and see their life change just like mine was, just like Ron Allen's was, just like yours was. Most of us were not happy in the direction we were going. I hated my life the way it was. I knew it was wrong. I knew it was contrary to God. But boy, when salvation came, and it changed, and I accepted what the preacher said to me. Wow, what a difference. A prepared mind. Notice this. A humble mind is an asset. Humble mind is an asset. Paul says of himself, Acts 20:19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, humility of mind, with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. A humble mind. He had met God. Now, he met the Lord face to face. You and I are not doing that. We have to believe it by faith. But I believe God's word. And I believe the same God that appeared to Paul and revealed to him all the New Testament doctrine that we have is the same God that we serve today. He said, "I change not. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever." God is God, and that's humbling to have to submit ourselves. But what a joy it is when you see the hand of God working in your life. Another thing about the mind, a reprobate mind is a possibility. Romans 1:28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. This is a picture of America today. What were those things not convenient? Men doing things with men that ought not be. Even bestiality. I mean, wickedness has no end of its depth. Things that our grandparents would have been absolutely appalled at are now evident on every street corner. I think I've told you this before, but on one website I was on, I mentioned something about my grandma and grandpa, and some preacher wrote back and said, "What's this about grandparents? Like old fogies." Well, I tell you what, I like the old fogies. And I want to be reminded of them on my coffee table. You can call it a little idol, memorial, whatever, but I got pictures of not my grandkids, but of my grandparents. I don't want to be like my grandkids have become. I want to become what my grandparents were. Amen? And if our young people could just get that vision and say, "God, make me like my grandma and grandpa." And what the world was like. I wish America could go back 50 to 75 or 100 years. Yes, even during the Great Depression, people were turning to God and believing in God, and hearts were being changed. But instead, we're now with a reprobate mind. Serve God with a renewed mind. Romans 12:2. "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We're not to be conformed to Christianity. Unfortunately, that's what most of religion is today. Yes, even in the Christian religion, it's conforming to doctrine, conforming to creeds, but there's no conversion. We're not to be conformed, but we're to be transformed, totally new by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Pretty good. Not even 8 o'clock yet. I'm on my last point. It is not a perfect mind, not a super intelligent mind that God's looking for, but a willing mind. God is looking for willing minds. 2 Corinthians 8:12. "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according that he hath not." God's not concerned about what we can't do, what we're not able to do. He's concerned about what we can do. I may not be a carpenter, but I can vacuum a carpet. I can walk in. I used to walk in, and I still do. If I see pieces of paper and looking up and down the aisles, if a lot of candy, I just go by and pick them up. Doesn't take a whole lot of ability to do that. Is God honored with that? Yeah, I think He likes to keep a nice, neat, clean place. Church is made up of people in all stages of Christian living. Do not compare and do not judge. Do not compare. See, some of you look at pastor, "Yeah, oh man, I could never be what he is." And I'll be honest with you, I have those feelings. I think we've got a great pastor. And I think other people across the country recognize it. I may never attain to what he is, what he's done. but I can do what I can do for the cause of Christ. Do not compare and do not judge. I think I mentioned this earlier. We look at people that do some stupid things. Stupid. And it's all I can do to keep from going up, tapping them on the shoulder and saying, you know how stupid that is? But that's not what God called me to do. God called me to go up and tap them on the shoulder and say, God bless you, my brother. That may not have been the thing you really intended to do. I don't know. But whatever it is. Actually, the best thing, just avoid it. Walk away from it. If you've been around me very long, you know I'm very opinionated. And it doesn't take me very long to let you know what I think. Let's close with this. First, a willing mind is accepted. Let's look at the Apostle Paul. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect or mature. None of us are perfect, none of us are sinless, but some of us are more mature by virtue of age, by virtue of activity. Be thus minded. And if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even unto you. The heart and the mind, put a guard over both of them. Allow only that which is honoring to God in your heart, in your mind. I could go through a list of things, internet, TV, stuff. I'll be truthful with you. The older I get, I'm losing interest. I'm even losing interest in ball games. And I tell you, I've loved sports all my life. Sometimes I sit at home at night, ball games are on, I don't even turn them on anymore. Occasionally I do. But I'd rather just sit in my house and think, read, study, take naps. God wants us to have a rested body. Amen. I hope these things have been good. Put a guard over your heart and your mind. Let in only that which is honoring to God. If you're here and you've never let Christ come into your life to save you, tonight be the night. Come meet the preacher right here in front, or one of the men that'll be down there. And you're not 100% sure you're on your way to heaven, tonight's that night. It happened to me in November 1966, almost 50 years ago now. Do you know what? I've never regretted one day. And I've come to realize God is my God. But more than that, I am His. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. You can know that too. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for letting me preach. I enjoy it. And Lord, even more than preaching, I enjoy just preparing sermons as you speak to my heart. And the many that I've prepared that I've never preached. But what a blessing it is just sit down and develop sermons. God, help us to love you. In this day when a lost and dying world needs to see in us the love of Christ and the hope of glory, God, help us to fulfill that. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.